the Morongo Casino Studios, it's the Heidi and Frank Show on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
9 o'clock on a Monday. What happens? Every Monday at this time, Christian Hand drops by the studio to break down a rock song for us. What's up, man?
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
How was your weekend?
It was great. I was going to say the worst experience I delivered to a partner was what became known in my band as 9 Seconds of Fury. It's a great story, but we have important things to do this morning.
We do.
So last week, obviously, we lost the great Charlie Watts, one of the foundational sticksmen of the industry.
I met a tomorrow queen in
a little bit about Chuck. He was born June of 1941, so a year before you, Franklin. He joined the Rolling Stones in 1963. He also designed most of their record sleeves and their tour stages. He's actually from the town that I was from in England called Kingsbury, NW9, Northwest 9, if you're looking at a map. And along with Jagger and Richards, he's the only member of the band to play on all of their studio albums. This is, of course, Honky Tonk Woman, which is one that everybody who's a Stones aficionado says is pretty much the preeminent example of Charles's genius. It's from 1969, the year I was born, produced by the great Jimmy Miller, and now it starts as a song called Country Honk, and it ended up being on going on Let It Bleed, but on Let It Bleed it sounded like this. Country and country honk. So then they worked on this version that we all know and love, and they credit the great Mick Taylor, who left in 1974, as the man that pulled the whole song together, because he hadn't joined the band officially, but he came to the session and started playing on it, and Keith was like, "You've nailed it, mate." He, of course, being a humble person, says, "Actually, the song was pretty complete when I arrived, and then I just did my thing all over it, and blah, blah, blah." So anyway, it starts, of course, with the infamous cowbell being hit by Jimmy Miller, the producer, who died in 1994. He produced Steve Winwood, Traffic, Blind Faith, Motorhead, and Primal Scream, and he starts with some of this. Engage Watts. Now, Charlie is known for being one of the, they said on the, I think it was the Steel Wheels record, they actually went in after the fact and put a click track to his drumming, and he never drifted, even though he had not recorded it to a click track. So something fascinating about this song is that Charlie sits in this gorgeous groove for the verse to get that tempo stuck in your head. And then see what happens when he gets to chorus one. And you never even noticed it. Suddenly we're way faster than we were. So if you go to the end of it, he's here, but he started here.
Wow, yeah. Huh.
And then he ends here. And that is not a mistake. That is a Charlie Watts choice that was made because obviously the song needed to groove a little bit harder. He does some great Charlie Watts fills. Play to the song. Coming out of chorus two, he does this one. Little shuffle. Sick bass drum. So much bottom end on it. Tells you a little walk around the kit here. Motown. And the last chorus. Playing to the song the whole time. So I did a little research. You know, there's that story about him punching Mick Jagger when Mick Jagger made the phone call. Do you know that story?
No, I don't know the story.
Oh, it's amazing. So I found out the truth about it. So Mick Jagger and Keith were in their hotel room on tour, ready to go out for a night. So Mick Jagger decides, let's have Charles come with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. So he calls Charlie and says, "Oi, mate, your singer wants to see you in his hotel room." So the story was that Charles gets out of bed, puts on his suit, and comes upstairs. Opens the door, punches Mick Jagger in the face and says, "I'm not your drummer, you're my singer." Shuts the door and goes back to bed.
Damn!
It gets so much better than that. The Keith Richards telling of the story. Not only did Charlie get out of bed, he got out of bed.
Put a suit on.
He showered. He shaved. He put cologne on because, by all accounts, he smelled amazing. And if you look at photos of him, he looks like he smells amazing all the time. So he had this, like, particular brand of cologne that he wore, so he smelled amazing, and he got out of bed, showered, shaved, put on cologne, put on his suit, goes upstairs, punches Mick Jagger in the face, goes back to bed, and that is the greatest Charlie Watts story of all time.
Wow.
Alright, so on bass, Bill Wyman, who left the band sometime in the 70s, I believe, because he just got tired of the circus, and they lost a major asset. He doesn't play at all during the verses, and then he comes in on the choruses with this business. That's it for the choruses. Bill Wyman also invented the fretless bass. I thought that was BS when I was watching the documentary. I think it's called The Quiet One or something. Great documentary, really beautifully done. But he did. He invented the fretless electric bass because he had a bass that he was making himself, and he didn't like the fact that it frets on it, so he ground them all down and invented the fretless bass that then goes on to redefine a lot of bass players' style. So Bill Wyman, hugely significant, both technically and equipment-wise. And this, with Charlie, and then the end. Then you had no idea. He's so buried in the mix.
Only in the beginning?
No, it goes through the whole thing, but whoever stemmed this out did it in a weird way. So when we come to the extras track, there's more cowbell through the whole thing as played by Jimmy Miller, who by all accounts was an amazing drummer, and Charlie Watts credits Jimmy Miller, the producer, with changing his entire drum style.
Now going back to the cowbell real quick.
Please.
Is he finger muting it?
You're a gross person.
You know what I mean?
I'm not playing into your game.
I heard that.
I'm not doing it. This bit is dragging morning show radio into the hierarchy. Okay, we're doing it. We're trying to get this show out of the gutter. Okay,
I'm teaching you something today.
You know what I'm saying, Heidi?
Finger muting.
You
know,
oh, Christian, I do know. I do, sir.
Has it been a struggle?
I try to finger mute Heidi all the time.
On guitar, we have a guy by the name of Keith Richards, who's going to outlive all of us.
That's true.
It's unbelievable. And also on this track, you get to hear, which we don't very often, you also get to hear Mick Taylor playing. He comes in the choruses, and it's bananas how good this is. So check it out. This is literally all the guitar. guitar in the verses. With Bill Wyman in and Charlie on drums in the end, and this is just there was a four piece with without a loud mouth at the front and all of the other stuff, and it's just straight blues R&B together. So good. All right, so this track, which is bizarrely stemmed out, will point out that there's a finger muting going on the cowbell. Believe it or not, I have a resident expert on finger muting cowbells.
Well, I know this is the last segment through the headphone files out there, listening to the in the chorus, the guitar's in the left ear.
Yep.
And then the right ear and the verse is
it goes to the left ear. I don't know if that's actually what happened in the original because it's 69, which means they might be on 8 tracks when the rest of the world is on 4.
Ew.
Finger muting 69. What are you guys doing to me today? Is this a joke?
I mean, it's just a squirt of inspiration.
Oh,
if you know what I'm saying.
Oh my God,
I don't know why it jumps all over the place. I'm pretty sure that in the original mono mix, it wouldn't have done any of that stuff. So I think it was just whoever was messing around with whatever remaster. But Jimmy Miller just does the. The whole time. No bass, don't forget. There's no bass in the verses. So he smashes and bashes away with his finger mutes on that. And then in the choruses, we have the great Ian Stewart, who was actually part of the band, and that Andrew Lou Goldman, who took over as the manager, actually removed him from the band because he didn't fit with their image. But he stayed as their piano player and actually as their tour manager for 20 years after that. So we get to hear, this is the real lineup. So Ian Stewart on piano and... It's a bar fight of a song. So we get to chorus two, and then also what comes in are the saxophones, which are Steve Gregory and Bud Beadle, the greatest saxophone player name of all time. So you get chorus two. Stated before, the Rolling Stones in my house, they weren't anathema, but the Beatles were religion in my household as far as my dad was concerned, so I don't really have a working knowledge of the Stones until later on in life. But I always imagined in my brain that this song was way less dense. There's so much going on in this last chorus. Like all the little things I just pointed out. You got like four guitar beats going, saxophones, this ridiculous Bill Wyman bass line, and then holding it all together in a suit is Bill Wyman, is Charlie Watts. It's amazing. Jimmy Miller just making it all actually exist and not becoming a mess of disastrous proportions. All right, so the lead singer in this band is a guy by the name of Mick Jagger, by all accounts. Yeah, young lad out of East London. I don't know if he's from East London, but we're saying that. And, of course, also on this, you have the background vocals, which are Reparada and the Delrons, which used to just be the Delrons, and then the Delrons splintered and became Reparada and the Delrons. And then Nanette Workman, who is credited on the record as Nanette Newman, and I believe that she might be involved with the guitar player, who's Lyle Workman. But anyway, they're doing the background vocals. It comes in the choruses, but in the verses. And then this also has like weird radio edits where they took words out that don't really need to have been taken out. So there's one right off the bat of
I met her, so ballroom queen in Memphis. She tried to take me upstairs for...
Can't have ride, clearly, for some reason. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on.
She had to heave me right across her shoulder. Cause I just can't seem to drink you off my mind.
What a great line.
Yep.
Mm. It's a honky-tonk woman. The gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. I left a divorcee in New York City. I had to put up some kind of a fight. The lady, then she covered me in roses. She blew my nose and then she blew my mind.
Hey. I think that's a cocaine reference.
Gotcha.
Later. Hey.
I'm so lame.
Now, it's a honky tonk women. Gimme the honky tonk blues. Yeah, now. All right.
All right.
Come on. It's a honky tonk.
Rest in peace to the great Charlie Watts, man. I'm telling you, everybody, get out and see our heroes as soon as possible. Keith, the program director, and here we were texting back and forth after Charlie passed. And we're like, the next 10 years are just going to be...
Oh, right.
It's going to be really hard. We're going to... I mean, I dedicate this whole piece to Lee Scratch Perry, who passed away. If you don't know, everything... Anything dance music, anything hip-hop, anything that you're listening to, Lee Scratch Perry has had a... Casts a long shadow over production and just being an alien from another planet, and he's now winged back off to whatever realm he joined us from to show us how things can be done. And it's going to be very hard. We're going to lose a lot of really, really important and significant people. So get out and enjoy them as much as you can now, folks. It's really important.
No, we have Kanye, right, Eric?
We still have Kanye. We still have Kanye. By the way, if you want to read an evisceration, the review of the new Kanye record.
Oh, please, what?
I can't read it because it's so long, but it's on. Where is it? Let me just. It's
give
a Hollywood
us the highlights.
A Hollywood Reporter, and it says one of the lines from it is. Hold on. This is a flabby dad body in musical form.
Wow.
Dude, it is relentless, man. Like it's whoever reviewed, I forget the dude's name, but every couplet of the review is just bash, 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 bash.
Oh, my God.
It's genius. I'll send it to you guys. It is so good. And then tonight on the Session IG Live, I will be doing some Dream Theater because it's a Metal Monday. And then tomorrow night will be some Tom Petty. And then Wednesday night is MJ Wednesday. So join me. That's the Session IG Live, Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. We do them live and everybody comes and hangs out. It's very, very nice. I want to congratulate my boy D-Nice on selling out the Bowl last night.
Wow.
And the fireworks display and all that. I sent him a little text. It's a major accomplishment from, you know, being trapped in his apartment and doing club quarantine to, you know, 8,000 people, whatever the Bowl is. So congratulations to him. That's a huge,
cool.
huge achievement. So thanks for having me in, everybody. And don't forget, vote no on this stupid recall.
So good.
Thank you, Christian,
Pleasure. For
coming in. Speaking of Christian, do you find yourself completely underpaid?
Whatever they pay him,
my parking validated, man. It's ridiculous.
No one's more underpaid than Christian Hand, but I have some signs that you might be when we come back. We're out of here, Frank.